Welcome to the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name's Brian. I'm a fellow small church pastor in the trenches with every one of you guys. And today, as always, I'm joined by the hostesses with the mostesses, Reverend Joey and Dr. Reverend Colby.
There is no doctor, but I am dope. My life is dope, and I do dope things.
And I am blessed and glad that I was allowed to be part of this after our last podcast. And for all those who have been worried, I appreciate your prayers. The head injuries are just about healed, and so I'm doing better.
Yeah, but you still look like, man, I'm just not even going to tell the
look
people.
Like you got run over by a truck.
And if you're wondering what I'm talking about, you need to go to our last podcast and listen to it.
That would be episode 44 of the Small Church Leadership Podcast. You can go and check it out wherever you get podcasts. And speaking
this,
of wherever you get podcasts.
This is to help like Joey, that if that one was 44 and we add one, this is 45.
That's right. Now, speaking of wherever you get podcasts, you could go to wherever we get podcasts. And what could they do, fellas?
Give us a 5-star rating.
Yes.
Absolutely, because Jesus loves you, and so do we. So today we are actually talking. We've been gathered together as a podcast brain trust, and there's more trust than there is brain in that one, I think. But we've been talking about how important it is to be healthy. And, man, one of the things that's on our heart as the leaders of the Small Church Leadership Podcast is we want to make sure that you're healthy. We believe that healthy pastors and healthy leaders help build healthy churches. We know that Jesus ultimately will build the church through you, but we want you to be healthy while he's doing it. And we've been talking about what can we do or what have we been doing to make sure that our lives are kind of spiritually healthy. What do you guys want to share about that we've been doing, that you've been doing, that can help you be spiritually healthy?
I'm on sabbatical.
Whoa, he's on sabbatical. We do want to say that Colby is on sabbatical, and we've taken him for one day of his sabbatical and made him come in here and be part of this and record some stuff with us. So, well, thank you.
When you're doing things, you got to do things that that fill you up. You can't do the things that drain you. And although that there's times when, like last week when Joey said something that drained us, there's more filling than there is draining. And so this is one of those things where, you know, I get joy getting together with you guys, for one. I mean, that's part that's been written into my plan.
Aww.
Because I always feel better about myself when I see your face.
Yeah, we're like
that's more like
that's
it. That's more like
that's
it. Okay.
But it's coming out of sabbatical-ish. I don't want to say I was like really into sabbatical yet, but taking the sabbatical, but still doing this because this is something I enjoy doing. So.
Yeah.
And not that I don't enjoy being a pastor.
Of course. Yeah. Well, sabbatical is important. And we talked about that on episode so-and-so of this podcast that you can go and check that part out for sure.
And that's important, I think. As we talk, we're going to get into our topic today, things that fill us and things that drain us. We all got those tasks that drain us that we've got to do.
Right.
It's necessary. It's needed. It's got to be done. And so you just go and do it. And then there's stuff that fill us, and we need to make sure we get those stuff in that fill us, so that we can be healthy. And I think that's one of the topics we're going to talk about. Yeah. Can be one of those things that fill us.
In his book, Leading on Empty, Wayne Cadero talks about 95% of the things that we do don't need to be done by us. 5% you need to be part of. You have no choice. Your relationship with Jesus, you have to be part of that. Your relationship with your spouse, you have to be part of that. Your relationship with your family, you have to be part of that. Your physical health, your mental health, you personally, you have to be part of that. You can't separate yourself from you. But there's 95% of your life that somebody else could take care of those
right
things. And I think that's one of the things that's, once I read that, I wrote on my whiteboard in my office, I put 5%, 5 in the percent sign, and then I put down the things that are in my 5%, and those are the things that I have to be participant in. Otherwise, I have other people that can take care of the other stuff, and that's been freeing for me to what fills me. Well, the things that are in that 5% fill me, and 95% usually drain me, although there's some things in there that I like doing, being part of, but I don't have to be in charge of, and so that's been helpful as well, is making sure that I stay focused on my 5% that require me.
That's so good, and I just want to reiterate what you said. Only you can prevent forest fires. No, only you can be part of your growth and your spiritual connection with Jesus.
Yes.
Like you can't outsource that, but you can outsource who schedules nursery workers.
Yes.
You can outsource that, but only you can be the one who's present for your spouse. Probably don't want to outsource that one.
That one's pretty good to stay by.
It's pretty important. Yeah. And so it's important that we're intentional about those things.
Speaking of that, see, doing dishes drain me. I hate doing dishes. But when I do dishes, it fills my spouse. There's never been a guy that's just been stabbed while doing dishes.
Right.
And so I do that task. So ultimately I fill my wife, which then ultimately fills me. And so I do this task. That's
draining. Wait a minute now. This ain't that kind of podcast. We don't have an explicit rating. Did I go too far? Really? Y'all are looking at me like that? Like now I've gone too far.
I was listening to Joey and then you threw something in there. I was going to say something. And I lost my focus. I'm on sabbatical.
I'm good for that.
So what I'm saying is there's tasks that you might get into that you don't like to begin with, but they're healthy tasks.
Yeah.
They build health.
Yeah. And I think that that's something that is really prevalent in the modern church is that often, especially people in my generation, you know, I'm technically a millennial, people that are in my generation and even younger, we do what we like. And you can't sustain in any area of life, you can't sustain it by only doing the things you like, right? Like, I like cars. Well, you're going to have to change the oil and do maintenance on it. You might not like doing that, but in order to keep that thing running healthy, you've got to deal with it. Or I only eat the foods that I like. Well, I mean, you can't sustain a healthy lifestyle. I'm going to make sure I'm not looking at anybody here so I don't get in trouble again. Like, sometimes we've got to eat broccoli, doggone it.
Never, never.
I didn't. As soon as that come out of my mouth, I was like, oh, gosh, he's the broccoli guy. No.
Yeah, so why are you the broccoli guy?
I hate broccoli.
I know
everything about it. It's a vile weed. I mean, there's no sense in having broccoli. The best way to cook it is to spray it with olive oil cooking spray and slide it into the trash.
But you made a commitment at some time that you were able to keep long term.
I did in 1994 during Lent season of the year. I gave up broccoli for Lent and I have not gone back.
I'm so proud of you, man. That is persistent.
Actually, it was a VBS punishment. I had to eat 7 bags of steamed broccoli. It was awful. It was awful.
And oh my goodness. And the topic for this podcast is 10 reasons why you should never have a VBS, and Colby's going to be doing all the talking.
Yes. We brought in a lot of money for missions that year. Our normal, our previous record was like $175. We brought in over 1,000 because I said I would add a bag.
People are like, let's punish this dude.
Yes, they did. They punished me bad.
Let's pay to punish the pastor.
All right. So we mentioned doing things that we might not like at first, but ultimately is going to be healthy for us. And I think Colby has an example of something he started that we want to talk about today.
Hanging out with you guys. That's not true. That's not true. I love you guys. So yeah, one of the things I've always had I don't want to say a love-hate relationship with it. It's mostly been a hate relationship with it. But I've tried it several times, and that's journaling. I went back and I've looked at some of the old journals that I had, and it was like I do it for like 2 or 3 days, and then there's nothing. And then I do it for 2 or 3 days, and then there's nothing. And then last year, so November of last year, I thought, you know what? I am going to journal. I'm going to do a journal, and I'm going to get this nice binder thing, this leather bound. It's got snaps on it. It's really nice. And I'm going to do this. If I get something nice, I'm going to use it.
Right.
And I'm going to journal. So November, I journaled for 3 days and then I quit. And then in January, I did it for 2 days and I quit. February, I did 1 day and I quit. And I thought, you know, I was getting through this time we had been talking about healthy pastor. We've been talking about all these things. And I thought, you know what? I don't know exactly what the turning point was for me to start journaling, but I'm not a fan of journaling. I get it. I understand it. It's got great value. But I just never liked doing it. But for some reason, and I think I'm at a 35-day streak now, 35 days ago, I decided I'm going to journal. I'm going to do this every morning. And so I've been doing it every morning and going with it, and it's been working out I mean, it's been helping me, you know, not just, I don't use the daily bread. I know that's probably, you know,
yeah, what?
See, so I know that it's bad. I don't use the daily bread for devotionals. I don't use, you know, whatever devotionals are out there, to use the super spiritual. I use God's word and the Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord.
So, but I've been journaling and it's really been kind of opening my eyes up to some things that God has been working in me. That I've known he's been working in me, but I've been fighting him every step of the way. Mm. And I'm not sure if you guys have ever fought God over mm-hmm. things, but I've been fighting him. And so I look back at day one, and it's like a paragraph. Day two is like a paragraph and a sentence. You know, and when I say a paragraph, it's like three sentences, right? That's a paragraph.
It's a paragraph.
And so I look at my journal, and today when I did my journal, I was almost ready to go over to the third page on my journal, and I finished up. I mean, I didn't stop short because I didn't want to go to the third page. I finished up, but I was on the bottom line of page two. So it was,
and that's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line because Stone Colby said so.
All right, so I'm on a streak. If I complete the day, I'm on day three.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's See, it.
It takes one day at a time. That's all you can do.
Streaks have to start somewhere, right?
So you knew you needed to do this because it was a healthy exercise.
Yes.
But so how did you get through that beginning stage where you're going, is there a secret that can help me along the way as I'm starting this?
Yeah. So here's what I found was for me, and I know, not everybody talks to themselves the way I talk to me. You know, some people are, you're kinder to yourself than I am to me. But, I just say these words, suck it up, buttercup.
Ooh.
Right? Because I want to get into this, and this is something that eventually we want to roll out where we're helping. We feel like we're helping pastors with this podcast now, but we want to go beyond that. We want to go into coaching. We want to go into consulting. We want to do all kinds of other things to where we can actually have, verbal help, one-on-one help with pastors, with churches. We want to be able to go in and help them out. And so I'm going through this training on coaching, and I really just felt God saying, how can you help somebody when you won't do these things?
Ouch.
And yeah, it hurt quite a bit, but I kept fighting him because I didn't want to do these things. And so then it was like, okay, now I'll do this. And I'll see if it works. I'll give it a shot. God, I'll give it a shot. I'll do this thing. As much as I hate journaling, I'll do it. And so I just started doing it. And now it's to the point now. I mean, after 30 days, I guess, after probably about 20 days, I was like, hey, I got to get this done. I got to get this done. And I do it first thing in the morning. I'll push it to the afternoon because I know how busy my day gets. It'll be bedtime and I'll be like, oh man, I'm just too tired to do it. So I do it first thing.
So what does it help accomplish in you? What in the last 30 some days, what have you seen it do for you?
So it's helped me. So I've got a couple different apps that I use. I use the YouVersion Bible app. That's what I read from. As far as scripture goes. And then I got my notebook, and then I've used, Lance Witt's, Replenish. After each chapter, it's got four questions about that chapter. So I read that chapter. I answer those four questions. I start with prayer. Let me start from the beginning. I start with prayer. I ask God to reveal to me something out of this chapter that I'm getting ready to read, reveal something that I can apply and how to apply it in my life. And so then I read the scripture. And then I write about that. And then I answer the questions after the end of each chapter of Replenish. And then I kind of go into my goals, like what my goal is for the day, what my goal is for the week, and what my goal is for the month. And then my big dream. What's my big dream that I have? And I want it to be a dream that is so big, I can't do it because I want God to mm-hmm. actually make it happen, because if I can do it, it's not that big. And so then I go into a prayer. I write my prayer out, and then I write down people that I need to pray for. And you guys are always on the list because you guys are a train wreck. And
so I need it.
Yeah, that's actually an insult to train wrecks.
So, but I've got a list of people that I'm praying for, whether they're in my church or in my family or whatever. I pray for them. And so, what God is kind of using this for me is. A lot of times I hate saying that this last year, COVID has really messed up the church. It's been so busy, so bad, because it was before that, the church that I was feeling that I was not doing what I felt to do. I don't want to say I always feel like a fraud, but I feel like I'm doing just enough. And I shared this with you. Pete Briscoe said it in one of the Right Now Media conferences. He said his wife told him, your flesh has led you as far as it'll take you. And when I heard that, I'm like, man, that kind of hurts. And so, I felt like I was at a spot where my flesh has taken me as far as I can go with my church, and I needed to go further with my walk with Christ so that I can take them further, or I needed to walk away.
So I'm on day three, and the reason I'm on day three is because I've had a friend who's been, for years since I've known him, talked about the value of journaling, but I had another friend that wasn't doing it, me and him was the majority, and that traitor went to the dark side and began to journaling, right. And now I'm under conviction that I need to do this
too.
That's
the Holy Spirit, that's not your friends.
Okay? And so even day three, I'm seeing the value of that, putting down, talking about my spiritual health. That's one thing I'm journaling about. My emotional health, and then my physical health, because I just come off a 10-day trip with a friend, and we did not eat well on that trip. And
how you gonna be just? People don't need to know all of that, man. That's your journal. It's private time, bro.
So either I got to get a new belt, or I've got to start losing weight.
And that is one of the things with the journaling, is that it helps you. You got to be real with it. I mean, yeah, you can write down anything you want to write down about how
that's
super
the key
holy you
right
are,
there.
But you've got to be honest with it. And even starting out, I was very leery about being completely honest on the paper, because what if somebody sees my journal? What if somebody opens my journal? What if it's laying open on the table and my son sees it, or my wife sees it, or my parents see it? And I'm like, now it's like, hey, I'm a mess and y'all need to see this, right?
Hey, I'll tell you.
Because that's the truth. And so I've gotten to a point now where I'm more open on what I'm putting on there on the paper. And I don't have like deep, dark secrets that would disqualify me from being a pastor, other than the fact that I'm me.
Friends with us.
but it's something that being honest and actually stepping up and saying, God, you've pointed this out to me. You know, it's a prayer. Point out anything in me that is offensive to you. And putting that down on paper, it's like you can't dispute that. That's on paper now.
I tell you what, I'll say two things here. First of all, I think that's one of the keys to life is being honest.
Yes.
We go to therapists and we're not honest because we're trying to impress the therapist. So we're paid $200 an hour to lie to our therapist instead of getting help. Like, we get in small groups.
If you want to lie, you can pay me $100.
Right. I do it at a discount rate. Yeah. We get in small groups or in accountability groups and we just lie. We don't tell the open truth, and you've got to be honest in your journal. And here's something. When I first got turned on to journaling so many years ago, it was actually a counselor, a therapist that he was like, dude, you are really messed up and you need to journal. He said it a lot nicer than that. But he was like, and I know your objection is, well, if I put this down, what if somebody reads it? He's like, well, one, journaling and being honest is going to help you get okay with that. But two, tear the page out and burn it in a fire. Like, what matters is the art of, or the practice of slowing down, writing it out, and being honest with what you've got going on. And so for those of you that are listening, man, if you're like, I'm just messed up and I've got so much stuff going on, journal it. Tear the page out and burn it. Like, don't let the fear of striking out cause you to stop, to not swing at all.
So what you're saying is, when I stop and think about the stuff going on, I can actually get honest instead of just leave it into my mind and not be honest.
That's exactly what I'm saying. There's something about it helping you process. And my encouragement to you is to don't fall back on technology, and I'm just going to type this in a journal. Now, that's okay, and I'm not saying it's negative, but I'm saying there are different areas of your brain that is at work when you're literally writing something out with a pen and paper or with a pencil and paper. And also, you don't write as fast as you type. And sometimes we get in typing mode and we're typing a sermon or we're typing an email, and we just check our brains at the door and check our emotions at the door sometimes. When you're journaling, slow down. Make that a sacred moment. I really applaud you guys for getting like fancy journals, because this is something you're documenting your life in. And this is something that, like, it's not just a dollar store notebook that I have here. This is my life and my spiritual life with Jesus. And I'm being intentional to slow down and really process this stuff out. Man, I just think that there's so much value to that. Now, I can't point you to verse and you know, chapter and verse about thou shalt journal, but I can talk to you a lot about the Bible talking about, above all, guard your heart, for from it flow the issues of life, and how important it is to be open and to be honest with yourself.
And that's been one of the scriptures that has stuck with me over the last couple of weeks is guard your heart, above all else, guard your heart. And this is something that I'm able to do in this is I'm able to write down what is a struggle that I'm having at that particular time. And I'll be honest with you, it's not super spiritual stuff I'm putting in that paper. I mean, you know, there's different techniques you can use. You can use, what is it, soul?
The SOAP is the way that Wayne Cordero does it, and it's scripture, observation, application, and prayer. That's what SOAP
stands for. And I would say
for.
That's what I'm using, except I don't put an acronym to it. I have a friend that has used ACTS as far as his prayer stuff.
Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. And so he uses that, and he writes that stuff down. And I know people that have been journaling for years, and they've got boxes of notebooks. And I'm like, have you ever gone back and looked at them? Well, no. Well, then why have them? You know, I don't have a purpose of having them. So I don't know what I'll do once I fill my notebook. I may trash it. I may burn it. I may put it away and let my kids or grandkids publish it years from now. I don't know. But or they'll be looking at that and go, man, Pop was a mess.
Funny but, story. That's kind of how My Utmost for His Highest became what it is. So My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers is actually sermon notes that his wife took of his sermons, and they got put together and became published. What we now have as My Utmost for His Highest. Hmm.
Mine wouldn't get published. They'd be like, dude, what?
Like, whoa.
What are you
Wait
talking
a second.
About?
You'd be what? Like, can we dig this guy's bones up and burn them and do them like they did John Wycliffe?
The journaling has been helpful for me because it's gotten me to really look at scripture. Not just read it, but look at it. So another
he's talking my love language now.
Another app, yeah. So Brian has turned me into a little bit of a theology nerd. I texted him and said, "Dude, I've become a theology nerd." I downloaded the Blue Letter Bible app, and on it you can click on the verse, and then you can pull commentary, you can pull the Greek, you can pull all kinds of different things.
Blue Letter Bible's great.
It is,
and it's free.
It's a free app, and it's a great app. So I will end up doing that, and I found myself going back, okay, like I can't remember one of the verses I was using a couple days ago was the word pure, and I was like, okay, what does this mean in this context? And so I clicked on the app, I got that verse up, I looked at the Greek, I found other verses like 700 verses with that word in it, and so then I was able to find the context of what it actually meant, the same word in other verses, and I'm looking at this going, doggone it, Brian. What have you done to me?
But see, here's the thing. And you wouldn't have gone there had you not been trying to journal. What is God speaking to me? How can I live this out?
35 days ago, I didn't care what that stuff was. I just read the verse, wrote in what I felt God was talking to me about, and I was done. Yeah. And now I'm trying to find more, a little bit deeper with it.
That's and so this awesome. Is study, not so I can write a sermon.
Right. Oh, and yeah.
This
yeah,
is
yeah.
study so and God can that's, change who I
absolutely.
Am through his word.
And that's where I was. Okay. So early in my ministry, I was taking the time to do both, and even though I hear people say don't ever do that, don't substitute your personal time with script with sermon stuff, and I justified it by saying, well, I am just studying the same book that I'm preaching out of. So if I'm preaching out of the book of Galatians, my personal time is Galatians, and so I'm studying Galatians, which you can do that, but it can't be, well, I'm just taking this stuff and making it into a sermon. There's different stuff you need for a sermon. Yeah. So I've actually, doing this journaling, I've specifically stayed away from, and I say the book of Galatians, I just finished that series. I specifically stayed away from Galatians because I did not want to do a Bible study, personal Bible study time on the same book that I'm preaching out of, because I wanted to draw my attention to other scripture that God had for me.
It's the retreat principle.
Yeah.
You know, we go to other places to do retreats. You need to go to other places to do your spiritual retreat in the Word of God. It's just easier that way. I found it to be that way. Like when I'm trying to study when I try to combine what I'm preaching with what I'm personally studying, I always blur those lines. And so for me, and I what I'm hearing you say for you as well, is it's helpful to do something different.
So I started the journal part where I'm writing down, looking at, dealing with my spiritual life, my emotional life, and it helped me really to get real with myself on that. But, back at a conference that we went to, they had a set of the Bible where each book, it was individual books in the Bible, and then they had a space on the other side.
The New Testament.
Yeah, right, the New Testament.
The box of the New Testament.
Yeah. And it had a place to write down your thoughts. Uh-huh. So I've been using that now since then. And so that's what I do my Bible with.
And for those of you listening, that's the ESV Journal Bible. Okay. So you can find that, or they come in each individual book of the Bible. So you can either get them individually or get the whole set like these guys did.
Yeah. And I've been using that to journal my things. And so I've been kind of doing that for a while, but now breaking out where I'm actually dealing with things I need to deal with, things I need to talk about, things I need to get real with in my journal. Yeah.
I love that, man.
One of the things that I, you know, so it's, let's quote Yoda, is do or do not. There is no try. And so that is where I've gotten with this is I either do it or I don't do it. I can't do it for 3 days and stop doing it for 6 months and do it for 2 days and then not do it for, you know, it's either do it or don't do it. And for me, I just got to a point where I feel like, and this is the whole mindset I had for my education is I can't teach what I don't know. Mm. And so I can't help somebody with discipleship if I don't do things myself. And one of the disciplines of journaling or the discipline of fasting or the discipline of meditation, if I don't know those things, if I don't do those things myself, how can I teach somebody else? I can tell you the principles behind it, but how can I tell you what the impact is? And so I just really felt like if I'm gonna do it, I gotta do it. And I can't just tap dance around it and say, well, journaling, I hate it, but I don't now. I don't hate it now because I've been doing it. I don't even dislike it. I kind of enjoy doing it because I've gotten myself to a point now where I'm writing stuff that I never would have wrote before.
Now just imagine if you had been on a 35 day broccoli eating streak.
I wouldn't have made it there.
All right. So am I hearing, that when we're journaling on that scripture and I'm looking at that and I'm breaking it down and I'm trying to, that's almost like meditating on the scripture.
I think so. Yeah.
I think
it is.
So we would equate that to meditating on the scripture.
Yeah. Now I would give a caveat. I wouldn't say that is 100% meditating. That's not all of what meditating on scripture is. So there is time where you're just ruminating. You're just thinking it through, but definitely the journaling aspect of it is part of meditating on it for sure.
And this is okay, let's get 100% real here. I have really felt over the last couple years that I have not been doing what I needed to be doing with my walk with Christ. I've really kind of felt like I've been eking by. I've been just doing enough just to be able to stand up on the pulpit and tell people that these are the things that they should do. And so I wanted to really bring my spiritual walk with Jesus closer to with me. I wanted it to be about my relationship with him and not telling people what they need to do. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do it. And so I really felt like I needed to. Now it's not for everybody. I get it. Journaling is not the easiest thing to do. You're going to start out slow. You're going to start out with a paragraph, three sentences. You're going to start off and you're going to be like, I didn't like doing it. I don't want to do it anymore. Just stick with it because the more you do it, the deeper it gets. The better it is.
Yeah.
So Brian, I'm going to ask you, since you've been journaling the longest, can you sum up all this and tell the pastor or the person listening why they need to start journaling? How it's going to help their spiritual health?
Journaling is an opportunity for us to slow down, have different parts of our brain activated while we're honestly evaluating where we're at in life. And I think that's really the key is we look at this scripture if we're journaling that and evaluate how am I living this principle out? Or maybe like one thing I love to do is I will journal prayers and it's like I'm Pentecostal. So sometimes I talk without realizing I'm talking and I do that in my prayers. And I'm like, there's a lot of filler language that may sound good, but it's not the heart of who I am. Mm. And I like journaling causes us to just slow down and go, wait a minute. I've only got a certain amount of space here on this page. How can I maximize and really articulate what's happening? And I think journaling, if I were to sum it up in a word, journaling is how we articulate where we're at in life. And it's helpful. It's not for everybody, but I would encourage you, try it. Set a predetermined man for, like, Colby's on a 35-day streak. Maybe 35 days you should try it since you've listened to this podcast. And just see how it grows and how it works in your life.
Well, I just want to say I appreciate the conviction that y'all give me now that I've started this process and getting real with myself. I didn't like some of the stuff I'm getting real with, but I think it's going to help me. So thank you for the conviction on this.
And I would like to dig a little bit deeper in what you talked about, journaling your prayers, your prayer life. Maybe that should be our next podcast.
You know what? On the next podcast, we're going to talk about journaling our prayer life, and we're going to talk about being real with our articulation of what's happening and what's going on. So you could tune in to the Small Church Leadership Podcast for our next episode and catch some of that. You can find us wherever you get podcasts. Do you guys hear me in my radio voice?
That's awesome.
Speaking of wherever you get podcasts, Joey, what are we going to say?
Would you please go to wherever you get in a podcast and give us a 5-star rating?
Absolutely. 5 stars because we're 5-star guys.
Kobe. And you can hashtag, or you can just go to Facebook.com and type in the search bar, Small Church Leadership, and there we are. Like our page, share our page, share our podcast. Let's get the word out there.
Boom. And hey, know that in the meantime, we're kind of praying for you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This has been the Small Church Leadership Podcast. Thanks for listening to us this time, guys. We love you. My name's Brian.
I'm Colby.
And I'm Joey.
And we will see you next time. Bye now.